The Becker's team is excited to be making our return to in-person events this fall. Join us in September for Becker's Hospital Review 6th Annual Health IT and Revenue Cycle Conference. We have opportunities to attend the in-person program in Chicago and also to join us virtually from the comfort of your own home. For information about registering and to find out if you are eligible to attend free of charge, reach out to us at registration@beckershealthcare.com.
This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We've got a very special guest today. We're joined by Dr. Robbie Pearl. Dr. Pearl is one of the sort of preeminent thinkers and leaders in healthcare. He, for a long part of his career, ran the Permanente Medical Group. Now he writes, he thinks, he speaks, he talks about things. One of the smartest guys in the business, smartest people in the business. Dr. Pearl, we're going to talk today about the Delta variant and what to expect. Why don't you take one moment, talk about your latest book, and just introduce yourself for the audience that doesn't know you, and then let's tell us what's happening with the Delta variant and what to expect.
Scott, it's great to be with you today. As you say, my recent book is called Uncaring, How the Culture of Medicine Kills Doctors and Patients. All profits from the book go to Doctors Without Borders, a wonderful charity and relief organization from around the globe. And it identifies the second half of many of the problems of today, and I'm sure we'll talk about them as we look at the challenges created by this Delta variant. You know, I think about it, Scott, like the caduceus. There's the system of medicine with its problems, but there's also the cultural ones. And actually, when it comes to the Delta, we're talking about even a broader culture than just medicine. We're going to be talking about the culture of the United States, because this is a national as well as a global threat that's out there. So let's talk about the Delta. So the first coronavirus that came ashore into the United States had what's called an R-naught, a chance of spreading or an expectation of spreading from one person to three. That's a highly transmissible virus, but it's manageable. The second thing that happens is that the Alpha variant, this is the one that began in Great Britain, comes to the United States. It's twice as transmissible. We don't have a lot of data on it, whether it's that much more dangerous, but your chances of becoming sick and therefore your chance of needing hospitalization and dying was twice as great. And now the Delta is even twice as transmissible as the Alpha was. And the Delta creates a second set of problems. Today, the CDC went back to recommending masking for people inside because of how fast this Delta variant replicates. One study showed that it has 1,000 times more virus in infected people's pharynx than the original coronavirus that was here. And this creates a major problem in our nation, where a significant proportion of the population, estimated to be somewhere around 40%, remain unvaccinated and therefore become an ongoing reservoir and an ongoing threat. And so whether we're looking at it economically, whether we're looking at it from the standpoint of overrunning our hospitals, whether we're looking at simply the mortality, this Delta variant is very worrisome.
So currently, Dr. Pearl, about 70% of people have gotten one shot at least, and many, many of those have gotten two shots. It means 30% plus are still not fully vaccinated. If you are fully vaccinated, obviously we're seeing lots of people that are fully vaccinated. Somebody in our household recently, or our extended household just came down with this that was still fully vaccinated. I mean, but they're fine, so thank goodness. But what's the risk? Is your risk lower if you've been fully vaccinated? Or you still face a lot of risk? And even if you're not, if 30% of the people out there aren't vaccinated, it just that's a cauldron that these things can brew in and keep on spreading out new variants and new problems for all of us, right?
Let's look at this, Scott, from two standpoints. The first is that when it comes to this vaccine, after two doses, it is incredibly effective at avoiding hospitalization or death. when you look at the people who have died recently over the past month or two, 99% of them have been unvaccinated. Less than 1% have been vaccinated. And you actually would expect it to go the other way, because you may remember early in the pandemic, we vaccinated the people at highest risk of dying, people who are elderly and people with chronic disease. And of those hospitalized, only 3% had been vaccinated. A vaccine's not going to be 100% protective. We knew that. And the original data said that the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines were somewhere in the 90% range. Relative to the Delta variant, it drops slightly, but we're still talking about close to a 90% protection. So that is a tremendous positive. And the fact that people are becoming sick doesn't surprise me, by the way, Scott, because the data shows that once you've been vaccinated, your antibodies, the ability to fight the virus goes up tremendously, and then they come back down, as you would expect, because our body keeps a reservoir of cells that can create this various lymphocytes that produce the antibody. Yeah, but it takes a little bit of time to produce them.
No, many of us got our vaccines in January, February, March. At what point do we start losing sleep that this booster doesn't seem to be coming that quickly, and how well will that booster spread? At what point do we get nervous that our immunity exactly is going to start to wear down? We all know we need this booster coming. The drug companies seem to say different things different days, but I think all of us think we need this booster. What's your sense of the timing and how quickly that's going to move?
This is the same theme, Scott. The dropping of the antibodies does not mean you've lost your protection. It just means that your body is not seeing this virus right now, so it's not revving up the engines. The question is, does your body have the ability to produce those antibodies as soon as it encounters the virus? I'm making the experience be a relatively minor problem. And you may remember back, we often talk about the summer flu. It's not really the flu, but it's an upper respiratory infection people often got. That's how this virus is now, the Delta variant is happening in people who are vaccinated. Now, when it comes to an added booster, right now there's not enough data unless, Scott, you are at high risk. So if you're immunocompromised, if you're on a lot of medications, you should talk to your doctor and find out whether you should have another booster to keep your antibodies high enough given how vulnerable you are. But right now the data says for the overwhelming majority of Americans, yeah, you might get a little sick, but wear a mask as you would do against any virus, but that the danger is blocked from individuals who had the two shots today.
Next question, Robbie. 90% of the world is my, guess, maybe more, is not vaccinated at all yet. You know, does this mean that until we get the world vaccinated, this is going to keep on brewing in different variants, and sooner or later our antibodies won't protect us against the next variant? I mean, don't we really move from this concept of let's get America first vaccinated? I know it's such an unpopular phrase. Don't we really got to get the whole world vaccinated, not just us? I mean, if we want protection, it's in our own selfish interest, we need to vaccinate the entire world, not just us.
Well, you're absolutely right, Scott, that until the world is vaccinated, this virus is going to continue to replicate. And what happens in replication is mistakes are made. They're called mutations. Most of them die away because there's no competitive advantage. But when you see a change that allows the virus to replicate more easily, to be more easily transmitted, to latch on in the pharynx of people who encounter this virus, then it's going to become dominant. I want to point out that a month ago, the Delta variant accounted for less than 10% of infections, and today it's over 80%. That's how fast this changes. And so you're absolutely right. As long as this virus is replicating anywhere in the world, mutations are going to happen, and one of those mutations could make the new variant resistive to the vaccines that exist. And if that were to happen, Scott, we would be once again deep in medical difficulties with raging infections, hospitalization, and death until the drug companies could manufacture a new vaccine designed specifically to attack this new variant. Now, the good part is the vaccines today attack the virus in multiple different places. So a single mutation so far has not made it impossible for the vaccine to work, the antibodies to work, but theoretically it could happen.
A couple more questions. The Delta variant, here they're showing at least the last count was 83% plus of all new cases are Delta variant cases. It's probably higher today. You know, we're back to 50,000 cases a day in the United States, you know, well down from 300,000 a day, but well high from where we were down to. In the UK, they say 90% plus. I thought it was 98% of cases are Delta variant cases now. So it's really has been the taken over. What is the core variant here? You had mentioned the drug companies developing a new vaccine. And how do you – is this going to be like the flu vaccine that we're really going to be playing hit or miss every single year? And I know the flu vaccine is really a miracle of modern medicine because even if it's not perfect, it helps a lot reduce the illness and the sickness we have even if you still get the flu. Are we going to be doing a new COVID vaccine? And what's your sense of this? Is this every year or two that we're going to be doing a new COVID vaccine? What's your sense of where this is going?
We don't yet have enough long-term data because this virus has not been around long enough. So we're only speculating. Most people today do not believe it will be similar to the flu in the way that you're describing, because the flu, and we could spend a lot of time talking about the virology of it, has a structure that leads to continual changes in it, significant changes that do require a new vaccine. And the flu vaccines right now are vaccines that are designed specific to the virus itself. These vaccines that we're talking about in the coronavirus are different. They are genetically designed. So you think about a lock and key. If you have the lock, you can create the key that fits inside of it. That's the way this works. You may remember that early in the pandemic, it was less than a month before the virus was known to exist and we knew its exact genetic sequence. So that's the process with the coronavirus that manufacturers would use. They would find that there's a mutant that is now resistant to the vaccine. And by the way, it can happen anytime. It's not going to be a seasonal one. And when that happens, the protection would diminish rapidly, and they would then have to develop a new key to the lock, or lock to the key, however we want to be thinking about it, that would now protect people against this new variant. The data so far would indicate that there's long-term protection, as I say, from these B cells and T cells that are sitting in our bodies at all times, ready to rev up should the virus come aboard. And the challenge is really going to be if it now sees a new variant that is different enough that it doesn't recognize it, and now that variant can grow before we can, well, we would not actually produce the antibodies without either a new vaccine or without having experienced the disease itself.
Another question. You have this tremendous energy and passion, and you're always writing a new book, you're always doing a new podcast, you're always writing a new article. Where does that energy and passion come from, and how do you keep it hot and working and moving? How do you keep yourself at this level of energy all the time, Dr. Pearl? It's really remarkable to watch.
Across my whole life, healthcare has been a passion of mine. I went to medical school with a hope of being able to improve the lives of people. I experienced that as a surgeon. I experienced that as a CEO in Kaiser Permanente. And now, as you say, it's the opportunity to be able to do that through these other venues. You know, I tell people when you're a surgeon, I fix kids with cleft lip and cleft palate. The total number of patients I took care of were maybe 10,000 across my operative career. I knew the families really well. Sometimes I'd operate on the parent and then the child who had developed the same cleft lip problem. Then you have the opportunity as the CEO in Kaiser Permanente to influence not 10,000, but 10 million people. And that's very rewarding. I don't want to say more or less than being a surgeon. It's just different. It's not as deep, but it's far broader. And right now, like yourself, I'm interested in saying, how do we improve the health of all 300 million Americans? I mean, I believe right now that what we're doing as a nation in not mandating vaccines is creating a massive amount of harm. It's not only hurting the people that are not vaccinated, it's risking the economics. It's risking the American economy should a variant come along. It's a passion for me because it simply seems like the right thing to do. I understand why people are hesitant. I understand why we're resistant to making the change happen. But I think when it comes to both the health and the economics of the country, it's something we should be doing. I feel just as passionately about changing the healthcare system. I'm sure you saw, Scott, that healthcare costs, bills that can't be paid, have now gone from $80 billion 4 years ago amongst Americans to $140 billion. People are going bankrupt. It's the leading cause of not being able to pay for your mortgage, to pay for your rent, to pay for your food, to pay for your kids. It's not hard, Scott, to become passionate when it's out there. The privilege that I have is that having been a CEO, having been a surgeon, having access to a lot of medical information, what I can see are solutions out there. And what I'm really, really pleased about is how many other people in this nation want to accomplish the same changes. And I'll go back to the theme of the current book. We have to evolve the American healthcare system. It's left over from the 19th century. It's fragmented. We call it, it's fragmented. It's paid on a fee-for-service basis. That's really a piecemeal basis of payment. We have unnecessary utilization. We have a lot of systemic problems that exist, but simultaneously, we have cultural ones. We have a great medical culture that allowed us to respond to the coronavirus, to the COVID-19, to have physicians going in, providing care to patients, despite not having the protection that they needed. But we also have problems coming out of that medical culture that I think is harming doctors and patients. So that's my passion today. How do we evolve that culture in a way that can improve the health of Americans, improve the health of healthcare professionals? The recent data said that during COVID-19, we lost almost 2 years of longevity on a statistical basis. We now trail other countries in the world by 5 years when it comes to life expectancy. I know we can do better. We already spend twice as much as almost anyone else. The passion is easy when you see both a problem and a solution. They exist today. And my hope through this podcast, through your work, is giving people the courage to move forward and once again make American medicine the best in the world.
Robbie, always a pleasure to visit with you. I think probably mandating the vaccines is coming. I think it's taken a while for people to get comfortable to understand to see what's going on, and it's become a little politicized. It's freedom versus issue versus non-freedom issue, but it does feel like we're moving in that direction, albeit a little more slowly than expected, and ultimately government's going to have to lead on it. But industry's leading on it too. You see more and more hospitals. I saw HHS today, again, mandating everybody gets vaccinated that works there. You see more and more healthcare systems doing it, and I think it's coming. In any event, Robbie, just a great pleasure to visit with you. Just fantastic. Thank you, as always, for shedding light on the issues of the day, particularly today, COVID-19 and the Delta variant. Thank you very much.
Scott, one last thought for you listeners who might have a question about vaccine mandates. If every American were vaccinated, we wouldn't even be talking about having to wear masks inside as the CDC did today. We're paying a price as a nation. The time has come to end that and protect people against hospitalization, and death. Thank you, Scott, for hosting this podcast and for educating so many of your listeners.
Robbie, always a pleasure to visit with you, Dr. Pearl. Thank you.